This is Tuesday, November 19th, 2013. Everyone's talking about BlizzCon, the spotlight falls on Power Word Gold and its 75th episode, and did someone just start a Heroes of the Storm podcast? This is Realm Maintenance number 66.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, griffins and wyverns, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Ro, and thanks as always for listening. I'd like to thank everyone for the positive feedback sent about last week's BlizzCon episode. I'm glad you enjoyed it, and if I go to BlizzCon next year, I'll probably do something similar. Really quick here, I've been fortunate enough to receive a couple of Hearthstone beta keys from listeners who already got into the beta, and I'll be giving those out over the next few days. Early downloaders of the show, keep an eye out for a tweet from @RealmPodcast at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time today for how to win the first key. The second key will be up for grabs on Friday at, let's just say noon Eastern Time. Isn't there a show that records then? Well, if you're in the chat room for that show, you might be pleasantly surprised. Format-wise, it's going to be business as usual for a few weeks, so let's get the show rolling as I talk about a highly controversial move by Blizzard when it comes to Warlords of Draenor. In fact, you could say it's sky-high. Here is the rolling restart. While it may not be the Dark Below, I'm honestly pretty excited about the next World of Warcraft expansion and everything that's been mentioned about it. Garrisons seem like the big key feature that'll keep me busy. The boost to 90 for one character will probably go toward rolling up a level 90 Warlock on the Alliance side so I can play my favorite class on both factions again. And of course there's new character models and the exploration of Draenor, a very different world than the shattered Outland we'd seen in the Burning Crusade. But for some people, the exploration of Draenor feels like a chore. For some, a new expansion means grinding the level cap ASAP and hopping on that flying mount so that they can do their dailies or raiding or whatever endgame activities that much faster. It's that sentiment that has the forums ablaze with people that are upset over a bit of news that was originally mentioned on an episode of The Instance that was recorded live at BlizzCon. Lead Systems designer Greg Street, aka Ghostcrawler, had mentioned that the team wanted to possibly wait on giving us flying until patch 6.1, not just at hitting level 100. Now, you know, I really don't get what all the fuss is about on the forums. I don't get it. It's times like this that I wish I did the show live so that some of you could explain it to me in a chat room. I mean, how does delaying flight by a couple months ruin a person's game experience? I mean, for me, one thing I loved about Pandaria and its endgame zones was that with being kept on the ground, it gave plenty more opportunities to find those secret little areas and details about the landscape that, you know, I would have easily overlooked if I just flew over them. I know one of the arguments is travel time. If it takes longer to get from point A to point B, then that's less time that you're doing what you want to do. That would sound like a fair point until you consider that Blizzard's not getting rid of flight paths. I mean, Pandaria, just like almost every other area, has plenty of those. While it may take a couple minutes longer to get from one place to another in Draenor, for a few months, it just doesn't seem like a big deal to me. I think part of it for me is I just come from an older school of gaming. See, I don't mind restrictions in games like this that unlock or, you know, basically are eliminated over time. It's kind of a secondary way of progression. Let me just use a Final Fantasy example. In playing Final Fantasy VI, for most of the time, you're kept on the ground. As the game went on and as the story progressed, you eventually got access to the airship. And then once you got access to the airship, you were able to, you know, travel to all these areas that you couldn't get to before. And it was that sense of, you know, feeling like you were on rails for a while, but then having things opened way, way up at the end just felt pretty good to me. So I feel that having the freedom to go anywhere and do anything right from the start does have its advantages, but I also feel that that can lead to burnout faster. I'm not saying I want an on-rails experience, not at all. I'm just more a fan of an experience that starts as a directed one and then reaches a point where the choices open up. It's kind of like the best of both worlds. Now, I'm not saying that I'm right and the forum posters are wrong about this. I'm just personally finding it baffling that people are worried about a lack of flight for what will likely only be 2 or 3 months. Patch 6.1 will probably be on the PTR just weeks after 6.0 releases, if it's anything like Mists of Pandaria. I'd love to read and hear your thoughts about this, and perhaps put your words on the show, so feel free to send emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at realm-maintenance.com. For now, let's do a quick flyby of some other bits of BlizzCon news and more as we go around the world of Warcraft in 80 seconds. According to community manager Bashok, the current plan for heirlooms in Warlords of Draenor is to introduce a new UI where the heirlooms you have obtained become buttons which can generate the item for any character on your account. According to Ghostcrawler, bonus rolls will continue to be used in the next WoW expansion. Data mining of the patch 5.4.2 PTR client has revealed that WoW players who purchase the Collector's Edition of Diablo III Reaper of Souls will likely get access to a treasure goblin as a new battle pet. Nearly a total of 70 realms will have been joined by the Connected Realms technology within the next couple of weeks. The updated Recruiter Friend system is now live, and players can earn one of 8 different rewards through the program, including the new Emerald Hippogriff mount. In Hearthstone news, it was revealed at BlizzCon that the ranking system for the free-to-play game will change in the near future, and players will have a ladder of 25 rank levels to climb, with the lowest one being the Angry Chicken. I can't imagine folks at that podcast are too happy about that. Pet battlers and collectors rejoice. According to lead content designer Corey Stockton, the pet stable building for the garrison is planned to give players the ability to breed pets of the same family, with a chance of creating an epic quality pet. And finally, if you missed out on the BlizzCon panel for the Warcraft movie, it was revealed that the storyline of the 2015 film would be centered on Orc Warchief Durotan and the Human King Lothar. And that's your news. I'll be back with a Podcast of the Week spotlight after this.
Hey everyone, it's Aludra and Ben, and we're back from BlizzCon!
And we brought a guest with us!
He's not here.
Quiet, Aludra, they don't know that.
But they'll get mad.
Shh. More people will come if they think we have Tom Merritt. And Pi. Tom Merritt and Pi.
We don't have Pi either.
So join us for episode 35 of Battle Pets, BlizzCon Wrap-Up, with Tom Merritt and Pi.
Ben, I'm not going to be held responsible for the angry letters.
We don't get letters, we get email. You're silly.
Anyways, make sure to find us at battlepet.net, iTunes, and Stitcher. And remember, that's Ben making the promises, not Aludra.
Hi.
And Tom Merritt.
Hey, you did it!
Making gold in the World of Warcraft can be seen almost as a minigame. Knowing market trends, playing the auction house, using proper add-ons, it's an area of the game that undoubtedly is simple to learn, but difficult to master. Jim Youngkin's blog and podcast called Power Word Gold is designed to better guide players toward filling their bank coffers with gold, and I'm happy to have Jim on Realm Maintenance this week, just days after the release of episode 75. Jim, welcome to the show, and congrats on that milestone.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank you for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure. I've been meaning to have you on here for a while. You're one of the WoW gold-making podcasts that's been around for some time. For people who haven't listened to an episode of your show yet, do you have a regular format for your show? Are there like certain segments, certain areas of gold-making that you kind of cover from week to week? Or does the subject matter vary each week?
The current format is, you know, if I have a guest, we introduce ourselves. I give like a really simple tip that if they don't learn anything else in the podcast, that's something that they can learn. So hopefully that's fairly simple. Then we just go into our topics and I, you know, plan out the topics. Maybe usually there's 4, 5, 6 different topics. And those are pulled from, sometimes it's, you know, a backlog. I do have a backlog of topics that I've kind of thought, oh, that'd be interesting to talk about, or oh, that'd be interesting, or maybe somebody suggested it. Or I'll go through, like, what have I been blogging about lately? What's in the news? Because sometimes there's not really much in the news. So, you know, what's kind of going on recently that I've heard about as far as patches and, you know, MMO champion data mining and just different stuff. And there's not a ton of that, but it is nice to get that kind of information out there as early as possible so people can start thinking about it. And then we just kind of go through the show. You know, we have a sponsor break partway through and, you know, finish off the topics and that's it. And if I have a guest, the show can go somewhere between an hour to an hour and a half, depending. If I'm doing it by myself, it's usually about 40 minutes, sometimes a little bit less, sometimes a little bit more. And that's one of the things that's changed over time is that we've had a couple co-hosts and we've also had a couple somewhat regular guests, and then we've also had plenty of guests.
Yeah, one of them actually, this is about 3 months back, but you actually got the opportunity to interview a dev from Blizzard, Marco Kegler, if I remember.
Yeah, Kogler. Yeah, Kogler, that was pretty awesome. That was episode number 71. That was pretty cool. I mean, that was pretty awesome, I have to say, mainly just because there was, I think you probably know better than me, but I counted, I think there was 19 podcasts that were granted interviews for the 5.4 patch.
There was quite a few.
Yeah,
it was like the biggest batch that they had ever done.
It was definitely. And Marco, I think I was the first time he had done an interview. It was just really cool because I know, and you know this a lot better than I do, that there's a ton of podcasts out there about World of Warcraft specifically, and so it was an honor to be able to interview Marco. And more importantly, it was just a really cool opportunity to really think of what question, what could you, if you got the chance to ask Blizzard anything, what could you do? And so I really loved that episode because I really hit on, I thought, quite a few, specific things that I had wondered about for a long time about, how much does Blizzard actually, pay attention to the economy and that kind of stuff is some of the big stuff. And you can go listen to the episode, but it was a really cool opportunity to do that. So I wanted to thank Zarheim and Blizzard for giving us a chance to do that, and it was the only episode that I've ever transcribed, so there is a transcription of it available, and that takes a long time because I'm not a test typer.
I definitely agree there.
We don't necessarily have a regular schedule now, but we still get episodes out. And
right, from what I've noticed, you come out with a new show roughly somewhere between 2 to 3 weeks.
It's always an interesting conundrum because when you do get on a schedule, especially like a weekly schedule, you can actually, if your topic is fairly narrow, you can actually get to the point where you're like, okay, so we talked about stuff last week and now we're going to talk about stuff this week. And it's not that different than last week. Luckily, we've been avoiding that, but it was nice to be on a regular schedule. So hopefully at some point we might be able to do that.
Right. And as far as the schedule goes, I think at least for your show and for some of the WoW podcasts that focus on a specific area, and let's just say gold making, for example, you're right in that the metagame or the trends that happen in with the economy and stuff don't necessarily change too severely from 1 week to the next. Mm-hmm. So having a somewhat more infrequent release schedule isn't that big a deal when it comes to gold making podcasts.
And when there is news, it kind of tends to come all in a big chunk. Usually big stuff happens in the economy because of changes that usually revolve around patches or something like that. One of the biggest changes that happened in Cataclysm was in 4.3 when Transmog came out. So there was quite a bit to talk about back then. So there tends to be, spikes in the activity.
Absolutely. I just have to ask out of curiosity, and hopefully this isn't too personal a question. How much gold roughly, now I know you've got probably a good amount of gold tied up in the items on the auction house, but if you could guesstimate, how much gold do you have right now amongst your characters, alts, and all that?
When you kind of put yourself up as somebody who knows how to make gold in the game and is willing to help other people, it's a good thing to know that.
Right.
Especially when you're streaming and people can see the gold total on your, little intro kind of title and they're like, oh. But currently I'm at 2,650,000 on my main realm between all my characters on that. I have 11 level 90s and so it's kind of split between them. I've been stuck at 2.6 million for a while. Recently leveled up two. This is going to sound kind of silly, but I had already two enchanters, a cloth wearer and a leather wearer. But I leveled up two more enchanters, a plate wearer and a mail wearer. And because of the Timeless Isle, it's because of the Shaw crystals that you can disenchant out of. I guess maybe not everybody plays 11 level 90s on the Timeless Isle, but
I have a whole two.
So you end up getting, just going around killing rares, just even waiting for Garnia. And I've been farming Rattleskew trying to get the skeleton glyph pattern. I end up getting a lot of extra Timeless Isle armor tokens. Mm-hmm. So rather than just turn those into armor and vendor them for 30 gold, I have now the ability to send all of those off
to disenchanters.
Yeah, to disenchant. So, yeah. And kind of that's a long way to get to the point that when I've leveled up enchanting, I notice that there's a rough patch in Cataclysm where it takes a lot of hypnotic dust to level up, but there's not a lot on the auction house, and the stuff that is on the auction house is like 16 gold a piece. So that's when I take my skinner out to Deep Home, skin those dragons that are kind of falling from the sky and you know, crashing down, and make bracers from leather, and then disenchant those to get my mats. So, you know, that there are these choke points sometimes you'll run across, and who knows, maybe Connected Realms will make it so there's a little bit less chance that there'll be 16 gold hypnotic dust. But I just think, you know, for your listeners, if you're ever leveling a profession and you grit your teeth when you have to spend a certain amount of money on the auction house to level it, that's also an opportunity for you to go out and farm those same type of things later and make some money off of them.
Well, that's awesome. I was actually going to ask you for, you know, just like one example of a tip to give to my listeners, and you just gave one right there. So I think that's definitely one for people to follow. Well, one more question I want to ask you about before we wrap things up here is, what we just had BlizzCon, we just had Warlords of Draenor announced, and a number of things that were mentioned at BlizzCon. You know, when I heard about them, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to affect the economy in a potentially huge way. Some things to just toss out here. Enchanting changes, jewel crafting, the fact that reforging is going to be eliminated, so that kind of means that you're now going to have certain pieces of gear which are going to definitely be best in slot. And if those happen to be crafted piece of gears, the implications of that, then you just have garrisons, and what way will garrisons have an impact on the economy? I would arguably say that Warlords of Draenor has more of a potential to really shake up the economy than Mists of Pandaria did. I was wondering what your thoughts are from the initial flow of information we've received.
The thing that stands out in my mind, mainly just because they talked a lot about it and it was a really interesting idea, was the garrisons. If you think about how we used farms in Mists of Pandaria, at least in a small way, that's kind of how I see garrisons, where you could have one or two characters doing farms. If you really wanted to, you could have 11 characters, all maxed out farms. So I think of garrisons in that same way. They're going to have these small buildings that are going to somewhat be related to all the different trade skills, professions. And while we don't quite know exactly what you're going to gain from that, besides mining and ore, which they specifically called out, well, you know, it might have a little bit of an effect if you can maybe do a lot of, let's just say, for example, I need an enchant created, but I don't really want to go to the auction house and buy it, or maybe they're too expensive, or maybe the glyphs, you know, are too expensive. If maybe there's a way to kind of get some of that done from my garrison, it might pull a little bit of the money out of the economy, but it might get, because, you know, people aren't buying stuff off the auction house if they can make it in their garrisons. I'm waiting to hear more about that. I think it has the potential to, you know, maybe help some people. I really don't know what the interactions will be between the followers and you. Like, if they did say something about having patterns dropped. They didn't have anything planned necessarily for like epic items and stuff like that. So there's just a lot of questions there, but it seems like if there's money to be made there, gold makers will basically have 11 garrisons or 22 garrisons or whatever.
Now, do you think that'll be, because they have said that there's going to be a garrison for every character, they're, at least so far, they're not planning to make them account bound.
Yeah.
That could be very time intensive. Do you think that gold makers would actually level up like 10 or 11 different garrisons?
Well, I think you underestimate the creativity of gold makers. There was one particular person on my live stream who was talking about, I was talking about the sky golems, and they had said, well, they had kind of realized this was kind of a cool idea. So they had, I think, leveled up 4 engineers, or maybe they leveled up 3 more engineers so that they could have 3 sky golems ready on the first day. And if you've seen some of the screenshots of guild banks that I've seen, you wouldn't really underestimate the potential. And even the farms, I never got that much into the farms, but even at some time, farms were fairly, you know, fairly profitable. And that's the thing about it, is this game, you know, for people like me, I level characters. I used to do dungeons, but I don't really do them in Mists of Pandaria because they're kind of underwhelming. And I level characters, I level characters and I make gold. Now, as far as the other professions, the enchanting and jewel crafting, I do think that that will lower the volume of gems, but because there's just less slots, I think that there's a chance that they might end up increasing in price. And if you look at glyphs, there's no reason why glyphs should cost more than 10 gold, but they do. Right. Because the players that are selling them like to, you know, keep the prices up. So just because something isn't necessarily valued that way doesn't mean that it's not going to sell for more than that.
Thank you for being on the show. I'd love it if you could take a minute to tell listeners where they can find the blog, the podcast, mm-hmm. and the live stream, because your live streaming is a big part of what you do also.
Yeah, it actually is. And I got this part down because I say it a lot. But I'm Jim Youngkin from, you know, obviously Power Word Gold. You can find our blog and podcast by heading over to powerwordgold.net. You can head over and subscribe to our live streams at twitch.tv/Jim Youngkin. That's spelled Younkin. You can find us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is Power Word Gold if you want to follow and interact with us. You can find us at youtube.com/powerwordgold. So head over there and subscribe so that you can find new episodes of our live recorded live streams. You can find us on Reddit. We have a subreddit that we use for that's reddit.com/r/goldmakingdiscussion. We are at facebook.com/powerwordgold. So head over there and like and interact with us. If you need to send us email for whatever reason, it's powerwordgold@yahoo.com. Oh, and the last one is google.com/plus. And this is where Google went wrong. It's the plus sign plus powerwordgold.net. And one little plug for my new project that's sure. just getting started. I'm taking what I've kind of developed over time through the live streams and the long form videos, because our live streams usually go about an hour and a half, and those are all on YouTube, so and our Twitch TV channels. But we're taking this idea of this long form gameplay, 2 hours usually minimum, and we're taking that into all other sorts of games and putting those out, and that's at slowgame.tv. So head over there, and we're also at youtube.com/slowgame. And spelled out DOT. And this is my failure because I didn't realize somebody else had the YouTube name. Slowgame.tv, and the dot is spelled out. And thank you so much, Ro, for having us on the podcast. This was a lot of fun.
Not a problem. The pleasure's all mine. And we're going to go ahead and head out with a clip from episode 75 of Power Word Gold.
The next topic that we wanted to talk about, it's not too complicated, so we probably won't take too much time on it, but I thought it was kind of interesting. It is PvP Battlegrounds will now have a chance to drop loot, similar to how Dungeons and Raids dropped loot. And also, one of the types of loot that will drop is BOE loot, which essentially means that these are items, if you don't need it for your own particular character to PvP, you might be able to sell these on the auction house. Or you will be able to sell these on the auction house. That's what they said in BlizzCon. So for PvPers, there hasn't really been that much really effective ways to make money in PvP. Mostly it was like finding the right item to buy from the vendor for valor or honor and disenchanting it, or selling boosts for arena or those kind of things. And so it should be kind of fun for people that do like to do Battlegrounds to get a little bit of extra money out of it by getting those drops. We don't know the mechanics that will be involved in getting those drops, but it seems like they're going out of their way to kind of make it a little bit more rewarding to go do Battlegrounds. So that's kind of cool. All right. The next topic that we wanted to talk a little bit about was the new feature, which is the instant level 90 characters. So their reasoning behind this was, a lot of times you tell your friend, hey, come on, come get back into the game. And they're like, oh, cool, I'm in the game. And you're like, okay, cool. Now you just need to spend like 4 or 5 weeks leveling up your characters, gearing up your characters, and then maybe you can come raid with us. So what they're going to do is that with every copy of World of Warcraft, Warlords of Draenor, they're going to give you the ability to instantly level one of your characters to level 90. So if you're familiar with the way that Scroll of Resurrection had worked in the past, like in Cataclysm, where essentially you could make a new level 1 and then level them instantly to level 80, this is going to be very similar to that. they're going to be doing some interface stuff, which we're going to be talking a little bit about. Like they said that they'll clear out your bags and a few other things. I don't know how they're going to do that exactly, but this essentially means for players that have an alt that's just been lagging behind, or you haven't played since like Cataclysm, this will help you get up and running, or, you know, mainly for people to come back and to be able to play with their friends. The theme I kept hearing over and over again in BlizzCon was, we want you to play with your friends. We want you to play with your friends. It's all about the community. We want you to play with your friends. We're doing things to help you play with your friends. We're making this and that and cross-realm raiding and all this stuff so that you can play with your friends.
This is Chai T from Monk Meditation. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Thanks again to Jim Youngkin for being on the show this week. Now, there was a whole lot that wasn't covered on the 15-minute version of this interview, so I highly encourage you guys check out realm-maintenance.com later this week, where you can find the full unedited version and hear everything that Jim has to say, especially about the history of Power Word Gold and how it progressed from a blog to a podcast and more. Let's move on to this week's podcast news. With the big reveal of the next setting for World of Warcraft, is there really any better time to have Jesse Cox join the crew, but wait, there's lore? I don't think so. As always, you can find episodes of But Wait, There's Lore at youtube.com/thesmokinggamer, where you can find a variety of other productions too, such as the Decked Out Hearthstone podcast, Lore for Noobs, and much more. Now, a few days ago on Twitter, I'd mentioned that I was having a hard time trying to find a Heroes of the Storm podcast. I mean, surely there should be a couple out by now, right? Well, it happened with Hearthstone, and it's happening again with a couple of new podcasts. The Nexus is a Heroes of the Storm podcast that's part of the Blizzmaster Network. You can find the site for this new podcast at heroesofthenexus.com. The show records on Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, so if you're interested in catching the live stream, head over to twitch.tv/thatrandomgeek. Follow this show on Twitter at The Nexus Podcast, and you can catch episode 1, which is already up and available. Heart of the Storm is the other Heroes podcast I've discovered that's in development. The site for this podcast is heartofthestorm.net, and you can follow it on Twitter at HotsCast. The first episode of this show wasn't out as of this recording, but I'll keep you updated as they get rolling. You know, I really need to figure out just how Seraphis and Zia from the Sundering got a press pass to BlizzCon. I mean, it had to have been a bribe of bacon, right? Well, at any rate, the next couple episodes of the Sundering are ones you won't want to miss, as you'll hear interviews with WoW senior game producer Ray Kobo and art director Chris Robinson, followed by interviews with Hearthstone developers Eric Dodds and Ben Thompson the week after. You can find this explicit podcast at thesundering.net. The hosts over at GroupQuest had so much to talk about, they decided to split the show into two pieces. In the first piece, they talk about the news for Warcraft, and in the second, they talk about Hearthstone, Heroes of the Storm, the movie, and other news since their last show. These episodes can be found at thegroupquest.com. How will Bitter and Salty follow up their epic 30 weeks of Warcraft? Well, how about 30 weeks of Warlords of Draenor? On episode 58, you'll hear Molson and Sancha run down the list of weekly topics, and once again, you'll be able to help contribute to the show. For more information and the podcast itself, go to bitterandsalty.com. If you haven't heard the BlizzCon episode of The Instance with surprise guests Ghostcrawler and Russell Brower, I definitely suggest checking it out. You can find that and the most recent episode of the show at theinstance.net, and keep an eye on the show's Twitter feed at Instance Show if you're still looking again to the Hearthstone beta test. Speaking of The Instance, Scott Johnson will be appearing this week on the recording of episode 79 of Torrent Think Tank. You can catch this special episode when it records live on Saturday, November 23rd at 10 p.m. Eastern Time over at twitch.tv/torrentthinktank. On their last show, Rem and Jules took part in some more food tasting, and they launched a new Hearthstone beta key contest of their own. They'd like to know what you are thankful for because of WoW, and you can be entered into that contest if you tweet your answer with hashtag because of WoW by December 1st. Check out that recent episode of the WoW podcast for the WoW player at the newly redesigned torrentthinktank.com. WoW podcasts this week are full of BlizzCon talk, and episode 151 of Legendary was no exception. While you could listen to this episode on iTunes, I suggest watching the videocast at GameBreaker.tv as Mike B., Mike Shafnit, Pat Crane, and Gary Gannon give their immediate thoughts from a hotel room, live audience and all. Are you a pet battler and having trouble beating Zufu and Zhao in the Celestial Tournament? Josh Augustine is ready to give you tips on the most recent episode of the WoW Pet Battle Crew, which you can find by clicking the Pet Battles link at GameDiplomat.com. Episode 29 of the Press Wide podcast was kind of surprising. Episode 29 marked the end of Press Wide's 6-month run, and it was a pretty special show full of memories from Dunlop, Cage, and Remedies. It's farewell, but not really, as it was announced that the crew at Press Wide are changing their format and direction for the show and relaunching it as the Blizzmaster podcast, the flagship podcast of the Blizzmaster Network. You can find the last episode of Press Wide at PressYPodcast.com. You can follow the new show at Blizz_Master and find the show at Blizzmaster.com. The Blizzmaster podcast will record live on Saturday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific time at twitch.tv/BlizzmasterTV. In episode 11 of the Dungeon Journal, Matt, Frank, and Sushi are doing their BlizzCon wrap-up show. The guys touch on the future of raiding in Warlords of Draenor and discuss the controversial topic of no flight in Draenor until 6.1. If you were looking for their continued guides of the bosses of Siege of Orgrimmar, unfortunately you'll have to wait until next episode where they will pick up with the Paragons of the Klaxi. If you're searching for guides to the first 12 bosses, you can find them in the earlier episodes. Find this show on thedungeonjournal.podomatic.com. On episode 31 of the Chaos Portal, LeGrayson and Alice welcome Ian from A Paladin's Tale. With all the talk flying around on the forums, you can expect that the hosts and a very opinionated guest will have something to say about the Warlords of Draenor aftermath. Find this podcast at chaosportalshow.com and check out the site to learn how you can win a special faction-themed coffee mug. The Kerosene Kin and Lady Hava would like to announce that a new contest is now underway. You can find out how to get a $20 Jinx gift code from show number 50 of the Your WoW Money podcast that will be aired live at twitch.tv/LadyHava on November 30th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Do note that that's not the only prize that's going to be given away. Details are in episode 48 of Your WoW Money, which you can find at yourwowmoney.com, and more details are to come in the next week. A number of podcasts and fan sites were all over BlizzCon, and BlizzPro is no exception. You can find a ton of coverage of the event by going to BlizzPro's YouTube channel and clicking on their BlizzCon 2013 playlist, which includes a wide variety of short clips, including an interview with pro Hearthstone player Trump. Don't forget to keep an eye on BlizzPro.tv for the launch of their 3 new upcoming WoW podcasts. If you missed the live recording of Convert to Raid's post-BlizzCon show last Sunday, you may have missed the big news that the show can now be seen on Gamebreaker TV. The show for Raiders in the World of Warcraft continues to record live on Sundays at noon Eastern Time, and for now you can catch that at converttoraid.com/live or gamebreaker.tv/live. You'll still be able to download the audio version of the podcast from the same feed, but going forward you can catch the archived videocast at gamebreaker.tv. And hey, let's toss a few shameless plugs your way. Rem from Torn Think Tank joined John and Ben on Azeroth Roundtable a couple episodes back to make some bold BlizzCon predictions. Who came out on top? Well, you can hear me play referee on a follow-up to that episode, which you can now find at azerothroundtable.blogspot.com. All things Azeroth this week will be a special show as Medros and I welcome Jules from Torn Think Tank to discuss the BlizzCon aftermath and find out about how BecauseOfWoW.com is coming along. You can find that show at allthingsazeroth.com. And finally, you can catch me on another Azerothian-named podcast as I team up with Kyron and Kristen Mountain for episode 60 of The Azeroth Perspective. Check this show out for some BlizzCon recap coverage and info on how you can win the Hearthstone beta key by tweeting a certain thing to @tapcast using a certain hashtag. Find this show on iTunes, Stitcher, or theazerothperspective.com. And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press the play button and watch everything I missed from BlizzCon on the virtual ticket. A big thanks to Wonderland Reject and Ursula the Unloved for the 5-star reviews that were left on iTunes this week. But what about you? What do you think of the show? Leave a review on iTunes, and whether it's 4-star, 5-star, or otherwise, I'll give you a shout-out. Realm Maintenance can also be found on Stitcher Radio, so be sure to thumbs up the show this week if you like what you're hearing. Realm-Maintenance.com is the home of the weekly podcast roundup, and if you subscribe to the RSS feed there, you'll get a list of all of the WoW and Blizzard franchise podcasts that have come out in the past week every Sunday. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show, or promo to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about WoW or WoW podcasts, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. I also feature podcast segments on the show from time to time, so if you produce one of those and want that on, feel free to get in touch. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Realm Podcast or follow myself at Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Next week, I'll talk to the king of the short-form WoW podcast as George from the Mana Cooler talks about nearly 200 episodes of his show. And since I'll be out of town this coming weekend, there is a good chance the show may not be up till Wednesday, but hey, that's still Realm Maintenance time in Europe, right? Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. Realm Maintenance is a World of Warcraft podcast by Ro, copyright 2013. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks again to Jim Youngkin for being on the show this week. Thanks to everyone in the WoW podcast community for the retweets and for getting the word out about the show. And thanks to you for listening.
The WoW Podcast subreddit keeps up-to-date links on all the major World of Warcraft podcasts. It's your one-stop shop to find out all the latest and greatest WoW podcasts. Get caught up with your favorite shows and discover shows you didn't even know existed. If it's about WoW, it's on the WoW Podcast subreddit. Find out what all the excitement is about by visiting reddit.com/r/WoWPodcast.
This podcast is sponsored and hosted by Safeshark Hosting. With an affordable plan offering unlimited bandwidth and disk space for as low as $12 a month, Safeshark Hosting will work with you to seamlessly transfer your current blog or podcast site or start up a new one. Hosting doesn't have to bite. Go to SafeSharkHosting.com to learn more about the services offered, and use the code RealmWOW at checkout to get 15% off. There are plenty of fish in the sea, but there's only one Safeshark. Follow Safeshark Hosting on Twitter @SafeSharkHost.